The Disney Brit podcast is sponsored by Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. At Attraction Tickets Direct, they recognise that people nowadays want to be free from package holiday restrictions and to avoid paying prices inflated by travel agent commission. Because they don't sell through travel agents, they are able to offer attraction tickets at unbeatable prices and offer expert advice. Furthermore, the service they provide is second to none since their lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive their tickets within 7 days and there are no hidden extras such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. You can call them on 0800 975 0002 or visit www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk. Complete Orlando are here to help simplify your Orlando holiday. They specialise solely in arranging holidays to Orlando and can therefore provide you with an expert advice and knowledge on this magical destination. They have expert staff available 7 days a week and can personalise your whole itinerary using their range of hotels, private villas and apartments to suit all budgets, as well as car rental, scheduled flights, theme park tickets and travel insurance. Their whole range can be totally tailor-made to offer complete flexibility and fit your individual requirements. Call them on 0800 294 8844 or visit www.completeorlando.co.uk.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to this edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. This is episode 33 for Wednesday, the 20th of January, 2010. And we've got some great stuff lined up for you as always. Juz and Craig join me for our usual news and rumours. And then we're going to bring you the trivia quiz answers for the 18th edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. We're then going to bring you the next day of my audio diary, day 16, where I'm still aboard the Disney cruise ship. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. And then we start one of our brand new segments for 2010, Around the World in 80 Segments, where we're going to bring you a bit of an audio guidebook, I suppose, to Walt Disney World. We're going to start off on Main Street, USA, and we're going to bring you the rides, shows, parades, and attractions for Main Street, USA in this particular edition of that segment. And that's really the whole of the show that we're going to bring to you this time round. So, without any further ado, sit back and let's bring you this edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in
with the morning report.
Fire away.
Welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of the podcast, and joining me as always is the ever faithful team. It's Juz.
Hi Adam, hi Disney people.
And of course Craig in his 7 millionth house of this year.
Hello everyone, good evening everybody, hope you are all well.
Excellent stuff. Right, we're going to get straight into the news then, and we're going to do it in a slightly different way to we've done it before. We're actually going to do a bit of a round table idea. Everyone's going to take some news and it's going to bring that to you and we'll discuss it as always. So I'll start you off, I think. I'm going to do some UK sort of Disney news. This isn't sort of official Disney, but it's people who have really started to take this pin trading stuff further, which is really great to see. As you know, there was one in 2009, and Sam, who was one of the people who attended the last event, has set up her own pin trading event. It's going to be on Sunday, the 28th of February. It's going to be from 2 until 6 p.m. at the Ottery St. Mary's Football Club, and that is in Devon. Postcode is EX111EL, if you're thinking about going, stick it into your sat-nav. So that's going to be going on sort of, well, really in the next month or so. And the other one is a bit of advanced warning, which is the Mid Wales Disney Pin Trading Event. That's going to be happening at the Corn Exchange in Welshpool's Town Hall. That's obviously in Welshpool. Slight change of date. It was originally going to be the 1st of August. It's now changed to Saturday the 31st of May... July 2010. That's going to be happening from 1:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. So it looks like pin trading's really starting to take off in the UK.
Yeah, they had to change it because they suddenly realised that 1st of August was my birthday, so obviously they couldn't do it. And me being half Welsh means that it's just a Welsh bank holiday.
Oh, well, that's what it is. There we go. Well, part of it was, I think, to do with having spoken to Emma, who's organising the Welshpool one. She was struggling with the venue for the 1st of August, so she's had to change to the 31st of July.
The thing to note there is there's a link and everything on our forum.
Yes, there is indeed. Yes, so do head over there and check that out. And actually, while we're on forum and stuff like that, let's just mention we've got a change to email addresses as well. DisneyBrit@hotmail.com still exists, but we have now got a brand new email address for the show. If you can email us, you need to email podcast@disneybrit.com. Okay, so it's podcast@disneybrit.com. That's going to be our new email address. Juz, Craig, you've got new ones as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I think it's the same at the front. I've got a couple, actually, I'll come to think of it. Got juz@disneybrit.com, but I've also got juz@ironorlando.com.
Oh, look at you, aren't you posh? Craig, have you got yours as well?
I've got craig@ironorlando.com, and I presume I've got craig@disneybrit.com.
You do, yes.
There you go. But I don't talk about email at the moment because that's something that's happened over the
time.
Thanks for bringing that up, Adam.
Soapbox. I won't bring up Cypress Gardens.
Cypress Lego.
That'll be for the next edition of Iron Orlando, I think. Let's not get him started. Right, so let's head over to Walt Disney World then. And Juz, off you go. Give us some news.
Basically, I think I've been picked on here because of the fact we've got five cats, but the new pet resort... opening up at Port Orleans Riverside. It'll be run by the Best Friends Pet Care Incorporated, a bit of a mouthful, and it's similar to the current centres across the parks. The centre looks to be one of the largest one on property, and it'll offer the usual services, including walks, overnight stays, and, of course, for Craig, cuddle time.
I love the fact that it's cuddle time. Yeah, I think cuddle time's about an extra $5.
What if you got, like, a porcupine?
It's a prickly situation.
I would pay him to do cuddle time. I'd what?
I would take a porcupine, I think, just to pay them for cuddle time.
Does that mean there's going to be lots and lots of pets wandering around one of my favourite areas?
No, because I think it's the opposite side of the road, so it should be okay.
There'll be lots of dead animals on the road.
Roadkill.
Oh, there's Daddy! Run!
There's my cat.
Oh, man.
It's a good idea.
I want to know if the overnight stays include humans as well. You know, it's probably the cheapest place to stay on property.
I bet it's not.
You don't reckon? I don't know. Yeah, roadkill outside Port Orleans Riverside. That's going to be the new thing at boat rides. It's going to be the fresh catch of the day.
Does his cat on dinner? That's nice, isn't it?
Oh, dear. We're so good at getting emails. Oh, it's all gone downhill already, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it seems interesting they've added this now. This is sort of a new resort because they have one at each of the different resort or different parks already. I know I sort of nipped into one of them, not to buy a cat or anything, to use their phone to ring the Indy Racing Experience because we were coming out of Magic Kingdom, and it seemed quite friendly in there and quite a nice place, and there was people walking dogs and that sort of stuff around. Nobody giving porcupines cuddle time or anything, but... so a lot of interesting stuff going on.
Do you think it's an idea to actually phase it out to make it away from the parks?
Possibly. But the thing is, because of where the ones at the parks are situated, it means people who are day guests can just bring their animals with them and drop them off if they want to.
Or just leave them in a hot car, that's fine.
Or leave them in a hot car, yeah. No, I'm not convinced that's ever going to work. Right, go on then, Craig, over to you.
All right, well, obviously they're going to have a lot of roadkill to get rid of, so there are some new restaurants have been added to the Tables in Wonderland card, which, as you all know, is the card you can buy to give you, I think, is it a 10% discount or 20% discount on your meals?
Something, isn't it?
Now, it's surprising, actually, going through this, that these weren't on it already, but the new ones that have been added on are Tokyo Dining, Kazuni's, ESPN Sports Cafe, Fortran's Clubhouse, Portobello, one of my favourites now, House of Blues, Wolfgang Puck Cafe, El Mulooney, New York. I've never been to that one, obviously. Garden Grove.
Any of these might sound of the way you're butchering off.
Camosa's, Shuler's, which I've been to, and Todd English Blue Zoo, which I've never been to either. So, in fact, I don't even know where Todd English Blue Zoo is.
That is in... is either Swan or Dolphin, which I think is the opposite one to which whichever Shuler's is in.
Oh, okay.
Some interesting ones, though, that you would sort of expect it to have been on Tables in Wonderland to start off with, but there's... Like the new, well, Casino's obviously new, but things like Shuler's and Blue Zoo, you sort of expected they would be on there, and Portobello with it being Disney owned as well.
Exactly, Fortran's House of Blues. Yeah, definitely. But there you go, that makes it a little bit more value for money.
Yeah, well, I mean, I used to like it when it was Disney dining cards, is that right?
Yeah,
you used to be, yeah. Disney expensive like that. But this, as far as I can gather these days, you get your 10% off, but they add 18% gratuity automatically.
It's something like that, isn't it? Yeah.
So you're up 8%. Now, you know, sometimes 8% is all they get. So I don't know. It just seems a bit funny that they give you 10%, but they're still going to whack 18% on, so you're 8% up and... I don't know. It just doesn't seem as good as it used to be when I was a kid.
We're going into the world of percentages again, and we know we're not very good at them.
Okay, it's 40% across the board. Thanks, Craig.
Well, actually, I don't know if you noticed it, Adam, but when I was over there, the stand-up was over, actually, in any Disney restaurant now, they put suggested gratuities on at 18 and 20%, and it was already listed and you picked which one you wanted to act. But, I mean, this card to me, is. I don't want to sound too negative, but you know, if you're paying $80 for this card, it costs you. It should be every bloody restaurant should be able to use it.
Well, from what we understand, though, a lot of people who live within the area say that the Tables in Wonderland card works well for them, but you have to use it regularly. So, yeah, you would expect that the majority of, if not all, of Disney-owned and operated restaurants would be part of it. But it seems that, you know, things like Portobello, which I used to love Portobello, but since they changed their menu, although I've not seen the recently updated one, I wasn't so much of a big fan. But it's nice to see things like House of Blues is in there, Wolfgang Puck's in there, the less exclusive restaurants, so to speak, that are now part of it, which is good. Right, over to me then. Some more information. We talked about this next generation sort of job position that was created, and there's been some more information sort of brought to us by Jason Garcia, who came on the show. You may remember when we talked about Fantasyland. He recently wrote sort of a blog over on the Orlando Sentinel that I'm going to read you what it says. Basically, it says the Walt Disney Company's theme park division is quietly working on a major technological initiative that boosters hope. Could radically transform the theme park experience. Now, details of the project, which have been dubbed within Walt Disney Parks and Resorts as next generation experiences, are being closely guarded, but there is widespread speculation among former Disney executives and bloggers who follow the company that at least part of the project involves wireless communication technology. Could include keyless hotel room doors, rides and shows in which experiences vary. Now, the big thing about this is that apparently the rumoured budget for the project totals at around $1 to $1.5 billion, which is comparable to what Disney have spent on a pair of 4,000-passenger cruise ships. So it seems that, you know, they're really quite serious about this next-generation experience idea, so much so that they've given an executive who's been given the title of bringing this forward.
His salary is $1 billion to start off with, I believe.
They're going to be bloody expensive 3D glasses if they're giving them out to everyone at that
It's one of those things at the moment. You think that we discussed this before, is the fact they've got a bit of a quiet year coming up and there's a groundbreaking going on. It's almost, you can say all this about next gen and all how this is going to change, and then you bring somebody in and go, do you know what, we haven't got a clue what we're going to be doing, we've hyped it up, all the best, my ladder. Well, and it comes across a bit like that.
It is a little bit, but there's quite a few rumours that have come around or been coming around to do with this next-gen stuff. And part of it is this radio frequency ID stuff that's been talked about. And there's talk that you can go into the park, you wear one of these ID tags, and previously, before entering the park, you put information on there to do with your name, age, date of birth, all that sort of stuff. And it means that things interact with you, you know, like characters could appear on screens or things like that in shops and in attractions, of which talk to you personally by name. Or you might suddenly be walking down Main Street and in the windows of one of the shops a character appears and wishes you happy birthday. talk of things such as pre-selected fast pass times. You're able to go and pre-select all of those, and you store them all on your wristband, and you go, and you don't have to worry about doing that. Or even tickets on wristbands. And also this whole sort of queueless ride system that they're thinking about doing as well could also be part of this wristband. And actually, interestingly, there was a recent one-day test over at Rock and Roller Coaster that to do with this next generation idea of queuing as well. Apparently, because I know we talked about this and they were doing it with Winnie the Pooh, but apparently they removed, not removed the queue, but didn't use the queue at all. They gave you your time or your ticket or your number, and they had, it was either Guitar Hero or Rock Band just set up for people to go and play and enjoy, and there was a DJ there and everything as well. People went and enjoyed that while they waited for their time to go and ride the coaster without having to queue. So it's interesting to see that, you know, this is also part of this next generation idea of the queueless ride system as well.
I think they're going to, to be honest with you, I think they're going to lose tons and tons of UK visitors, because that's what we do, we queue. That's our favourite pastime, and you've just taken it straight away, so why bother going now?
Yeah, that's true. And also the French parks, if they do it over there as well, they don't like to queue, therefore they don't have a queue to barge through, so they're going to be upset as well. So.
Yes, you're taking our queuing and the French is barging. What kind of mad idea is this?
I'm not going anymore. I don't care, spending $1 billion, I want to queue. Right, just let's move over to you, shall we?
Well, I really don't know why I've got Victoria's and Albert's, you know. I must look like a Victoria and Albert kind of person.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
There's a new dining experience now available at the restaurant. Only 4 tables are available in the Queen Victoria dining room. They house 450 people.
That's a lie.
It's a lie. Dining takes between 3 and 4 hours. And provide you with 10 small courses. That's me finishing an hour. I'm not sure what I'm going to do for the other 3 hours. The great news is children under 10 are not allowed. And the cost is $200 per person. Can I just say, I went and checked out the McDonald's menu in downtown Disney. And for $200, I could buy the whole menu. And change.
I think what we need to discuss, though, is that this isn't taking over the whole restaurant. This is the new area that's called Queen Victoria's Dining Room, and it's only got 4 tables in it, then there's only 1 sitting each night. But can you seriously buy the whole McDonald's menu for $200?
Yeah, and I thought that. So if you come down to McDonald's, give me $200 for starters, another $200, I'll dress up like a butler, and I won't let you out for 4 hours at the ballpark.
That sounds good.
But yes, I mean, I'm sure it's one of those big things that you could get corporates, you know, that kind of small corporate event and people. Yeah, it would do well. It's a fantastic dining experience, but it's just, sorry, even without this, Victoria and Albert's was always out of my league.
Is $200 per person even too much for an anniversary dinner or something like that, or a honeymoon?
Yes, perhaps for a mistress or something, but not an anniversary only.
Well, when you compare it to things like, I mean, Debs and I went to the Californian Grill for our 10th anniversary, and that to me was special, lovely. It was expensive, but you know, it was affordable, expensive, and it was really nice. But I mean, Christ, $200 per person. I'd want, you know, them to bring the cow and say, "How do you want it?"
Well, maybe they will. Maybe that's your 10th.
Wipe its backside and cut off the horn.
I presume that when you actually hand in your coat, if you've got any kids, you can hand in your kid as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Hang them.
Get a little ticket for it.
Maybe that's one of the 10 courses.
Or cook your pet for you.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's one of the ones found from the pet centre that tried to get across to Riverside. Who's going to pay $200 per person, though? Who is this aimed at? Are they really that sort of people that go to Disney World to pay that sort of money?
Let's be honest. I'm still surprised, you know, jumping from park to park here. The Disneyland Hotel in Paris. Who can afford to stay in some of those suites? Yet there's always someone in those suites, and we're talking thousands of pounds night. You know, so if you give the high extreme niche, there is always someone out there, especially celebrity type thing, who will go for that niche. It's just a different world that we will never know about. So I'll see you guys at McDonald's, downtown Disney.
Yeah. We know he's going to go there, don't you? He's going to be Adam's new mate, Jonathan Ross.
Yes.
He's stalking him around the park. He'll be there.
He can't afford it. He's left BBC.
Yeah. That's it now. He's going to be eating at McDonald's with us. Jonathan, if you're listening, cheeseburger on me. All right. Just one, though. Mine, don't get greedy.
For you? What? I don't think so.
Yeah. One quadruple one, yeah.
I'd be offended soon. Right, let's head into the Magic Kingdom then, and I think Craig's going to start us off.
I am indeed. Yes, there's a new pre-parade now running in the Magic Kingdom. Being a pre-parade, that means it runs before the main parade.
Thanks
and
for
it
that.
Celebrates the
glad
day.
You cleared that up. Oh, I didn't get it first time.
Craig, what's post-parade, just so we don't know?
That would run out. I'm just delivering, you know, I just deliver the information. It celebrates the Give a Day, Get a Disney Day promotion, which I think we've spoken about before. The float they're using, though, is a refurb of an old Stars and Motor Cars vehicle. Mm. And it has an original Miss Piggy and Kermit and a full-size Sweetums on it. And there was rumours that there would be more characters, but each reportedly costs $30,000 to make. People wearing their volunteer badges or buttons are to be the Grand Marshals of the pre-parade. So if you give a day, get a Disney day, you'd also be in the pre-parade, which is a pretty cool thing to do.
Is it me, or $30,000 for a Muppet? Is that not, looking at them, is that not a ridiculous amount of money?
I mean, we pay hundreds of thousands of dollars every year for most chief executive officers, and most of them are Muppets. Citibank helped to pick them.
From the trade, yeah.
Could I just ask, what's an original Miss Piggy rather than a fake Miss Piggy?
Probably one they've just got out of the cupboard, isn't it?
Is that what it is?
I've worked out what a post parade is, by the way.
Go on.
It's the people who go down the street with the sweepers.
Ah.
The post parade. There we go.
In fact, the crowds are usually the post parade, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Interesting, though. What I love is the fact that the Muppet characters are starting to come back into the park. I think it's just great that we're finally starting to see them back. And they did say 2010 would be their year, and it's looking that way.
Yeah, it can be just Muppets, Marvel and Pixar. No longer Disney World.
Yeah, bye-bye, Mickey. Thanks
Muppets,
for joining
Muppets
in.
Muppets Kingdom.
Yeah.
But OK, that's... I don't know, I've completely lost the thread where we were. Let's move on to Tiana's Showboat Jubilee. We did report on the last episode that it looked like it may have been continuing. It now seems that it has officially finished. No news as to whether it's definitely going to come back, but rumours are that it may return for the DVD release. There's also other rumours as to where it may have gone, but we'll come on to them a little bit later in the news. But yeah, Tiana's Showboat Jubilee has officially gone. Craig, did you get a chance to see it? Did you?
No, I didn't, because we hadn't seen the film. I think I've said, actually, they've just started advertising the film in the park in October.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame, really, because, you know, Alex and that would definitely want to go and see this now. She got very excited the other day that Build-A-Bear are doing Princess and the Frog stuff, so she's really getting into it. So it would have been nice to have kept it running, especially, you know, it's not even out in the UK yet until, what, next month.
Yeah.
So all the visitors going over there would probably like to have seen it. So I think probably they've cut that a bit short.
Ah, well, the rumour that comes a little bit later in the news may sort of answer that. Right, Epcot then, just what you got for us?
Well, then, can I point out your rumours obviously just proved never true anyway. We apologise for wasting 5 minutes of your life. You'll never get back talking about Tiana's show coming back.
Yeah.
Mine is the new pizzeria coming to Italy. I don't know why I had to put Italy there, because it's not like new pizzeria coming to UK Pavilion.
Why not?
Come I suppose it's called Domino's.
It's the Italian cuisine.
Domino's is it. A new counter service location is under construction at the Italian Pavilion, designed to sell traditional Italian pizzas to take away, as opposed to non-traditional Italian pizzas.
Yeah.
A bit Domino's. it'll be operated by Patina, which I had to reread this, because in the UK we have a company called Purina, which makes pet food. And I did read it as Purina first. I thought, oh, a pizza and some kitty nibbles, please. the company that runs the... Now, I'm going to say this wrong, because I always like to say Tutu Italia. Tutto.
Tutto, yeah.
I prefer Tutu. The Tutu Italia, and it's to be built right next to the current Tutu building. Not that Italian for me, lad.
This pizza place, then, with these... Is this... You'll know, Craig, because you went to the sort of Italian kiosk at Food and Wine. Did Tina run? Did they run the Italian pizza stuff?
Honestly, I don't know. I didn't see who it was being run by. But it was an authentic Italian pizzeria that they had. They were selling, you know, the proper thin ones that I've had in Italy the few times I've
been. I wonder whether that was a bit of a forerunner research marketing idea to see how popular they were before they began to build the takeaway location.
Could be. I mean, it's a good thing, I think, to have in the park, something you can eat walking around. So, you know, I think people expect something in Italy. You get a bag of chips in England, don't you? So pizza in Italy kind of falls into place.
It looks a bit common to be people walking around with slices of pizza. You might as well just beat down any place.
I've been trying to rack my brain for one decent pizza place in the whole of Walt Disney World that you can have as takeaway.
Pizza Planet. Pizza.
But is that decent pizza?
I don't know. I quite like it, though, just because of where it is.
To be honest, Misa.
Because I got
Port Orleans room service delivery Disney pizza amazing. Yes.
You are dead on. In fact, that is the one place, and they those pizzas are huge as well.
Yes. So there. Well, once again, Adam's got it wrong.
Get it wrong. I've been trying to think for ages. I was thinking, where did they do really good pizza? Yeah, you're right. Dead on. Really good. Yeah, well done. Well, that sort of takes us nicely into the next bit of news, I think, doesn't it, Craig?
Oh, deja vu. This is something, a bit of news that I've been waiting for. This is a real surprise to me.
What, you got a house?
No, exactly. This will come before my house. This is Epcot Food and Wine 2010. Dates have been released, and it is going to run from the 1st of October until the 14th of November. And the only thing you need to know is that I will be there during that.
Oh, it's just not fair, is it? Fine. I don't want to go anyway. I've heard it's rubbish.
Yes, you do. Yes, love it.
Right, I'm coming out. Problem solved. Right, let's head out of the parks then, because that's really all the park news that we have. And we're going to head down to Downtown Disney. And a while ago on Iron Orlando, I think it was, we were talking about the Holiday Inn, or the hotel that had been just outside of Disney Village. Not Disney Village, sorry, Downtown Disney.
Used to be the Marriott.
Used to be the Marriott, and it had been knocked down, and it looked like really run down, and it looked horrid. But we have good news, and that is that it's reopening as a Holiday Inn. And the grand opening for this is going to be the 4th of February. It has 323 rooms, and booking is now available. You can go over to HIOrlando.com and you can book there. But I sort of had a look briefly today to see just how much it might cost to stay in the Holiday Inn. And obviously it's a really good location. It has transportation to all the Disney parks. It's really close to Downtown Disney and close to a lot of sort of crossroads and things like that. You can walk up to that sort of area. I looked for a quote for a standard room mid-July for 2 weeks, two adults and two children, and it came out at £879.
Cool.
That's not bad. That's $100 a night.
Yeah, it's about $100. Yeah. So, 14
that's fantastic.
Nights. 14 nights, £879. You know, I thought that was actually a really decent deal. It's, what, 60-something pounds a night, isn't it? I just thought it was brilliant. Really, really good deal. And it's a place that I'll be looking at next time we go out, because it's, you know, close to where we need to be. There's the possibility of characters at breakfast and things like that as well, because it's a good neighbour hotel. So I just think it's a fantastic deal.
Or Motel 6 for about £8.79 for 14 nights.
Yeah. Something like that, isn't it?
With nice neighbours.
The location it is, you know, the close walk to crossroads, and the sort of perks that you get from bits and pieces, I think it's just a brilliant deal, £879.
Definitely. I stayed there when it was a Marriott, so it must have been, I'm trying to think, Alex was not even one, so, what, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
And I really liked it, because you can walk to Downtown Disney, so you can walk to crossroads, it had a decent pool. And there was a load of cheerleaders staying there at the same time, which I remember quite.
Was it zero entry?
It was spring break.
Was that zero? The pool zero entry when you were there last time, or have they upgraded
it? No,
so they've updated that.
They've done.
I like the fact that he mentions cheerleaders. And you go, was a pool zero entry then?
Yeah, Jazz is focusing on the right thing. Yeah, it was spring. It was spring break, Jazz, and it was just full of cheerleaders. It was fantastic. I was in my element. I didn't read the book at all for the week I was there.
Ah, he was one of those people who pretended to read his book.
Upside down.
With
but no, it was really good. It was good. I remember it had a really big, I don't know how they're changing it, but it had a really massive atrium, and the lifts were kind of internal in the atrium that went up. But yeah, I really liked it.
Oh, cool. Okay. Let's just head into Downtown Disney very quickly, because I want to tell you about a new kiosk that's appeared. This is... now, I want you to behave yourself before I give out this piece of news, because I know what you like. This, like I say, has appeared in the Downtown Disney sort of high street area. It is called Lefty's. and it sells items. You started already. It sells items specifically for left-handed people, such as left-handed scissors, mugs, and spiral-bound paper. So there's a new lefties kiosk in downtown Disney. This is the most. I've got nothing against people with left hands. No, I've got nothing against people who use, you know, left hands for writing and things like that. But is this not the most bizarre kiosk to be appearing in downtown Disney?
All I could think of was Ned Flanders.
The Leftorium.
I went and checked, and it was Leftorium rather than Lefties, yeah. But I think this is against us righties, and I expect the Disney to sort it out, put a righties there, or I'm going to sue.
Is this rightism?
It is rightism.
Maybe they put lefties on the left and righties on the right. And then it'd be.
But what side is it? Is it on the left or the right?
I don't know, actually. That's a really good point. We should find that out.
You should have done, really.
I have to be careful because half of my fact, Kieran and Debs are both lefties, so I have to be careful.
Oh, that's nice when you go to downtown Disney now.
I'll get them put their brain around the right way so they're right, because I say it's right and wrong and right to left. So right is obviously right.
Okay. Has Debs and Kieran really ever struggled with being left-handed and needed their own kiosk?
No. She turns the scissors upside down and Kieran just holds a pen in the other hand. I don't think they need some.
Can I just say you've got spiral-bound paper? Do you not just turn a spiral-bound book upside down?
Exactly the same.
Is this a bit of a con here? You go, yes, we do want it. It's ambidextrous paper there, mate. Bit dearer, but you can have it.
Or you just buy a Chinese notebook or something.
Apparently, the company's, I've just looked on the website, it's owned by Del Boy Trotter.
I would have thought so, yeah. Sounds like that. Shiny shoes for you, sir. Left-handed shiner.
I don't know. I don't get it. I'd say I've got nothing against lefties, but I just find this a really bizarre choice for downtown Disney. You don't come back and say, hey, lefty, I was in Disney and I saw this and I thought of you.
It's highlighting their disability.
Right, if I told you to behave yourself, right, okay. Let's get on a plane and fly over to Disneyland Paris, where it's still really cold. And, Juz, I think you're going to start us off with the first piece of news.
Yeah, there's a new design coming for the passports. They're designed for left-handed people. The characters look upside down, so don't worry about it. Disney have unveiled images for the new park passports coming to the resort for the Next Generation Festival.
New Generation Festival, yeah.
No, it's a Next Generation Festival with Patrick Stewart.
It's Star Trek.
It is. Too much next. There's 12 designs for each feature. Sorry, 12 designs in each feature, a character at the centre of the new celebration. Stitch and Tiana are the only two Disney animated characters, with all the S being Pixar movies and probably some Muppets in there and some French people. And there are no signs of the Fab Five anywhere, which is a little bit, ooh. Because they've been traditionally the passport characters.
They have been, yeah.
And the celebration kicks off on the 2nd of April.
We've had a lot of the sort of Fab Five on the tickets for quite some time. I know back in the early sort of 90s, we had things like Tarzan and the Imagination Parade was on the front, things like that. But I don't know, have either of you seen the sort of new advert that's now out for the new festival?
No.
It's really interesting as you watch it all the way through because it demonstrates all of the new attractions that have come in, and it's heavily Pixar and Tiana, all that sort of stuff. And right at the very, very end, there's a Disneyland Resort Paris sign comes up with all of these Pixar characters, and then suddenly Mickey walks on from the right-hand side and stands there. It's like, we have to get Mickey, and he has to be in, and we have to put him there.
There's
like
I really suddenly hit him.
He suddenly appears from nowhere, having not appeared in any of the others. But it's nice to see some new designs coming out, because they're still, at the moment, using the 15th anniversary tickets.
And they're nice.
They are nice, but, you know, the 15th anniversary finished 3 years ago.
Could I just say, and you're probably going to mention it, I should mention it down further, is the fact that, do you know the biggest problem with these massive gaps we're having with Disney movies like Up and Princess Tiana is that we get so heavily bombarded by the merchandise machine, and it takes that much longer. By the time the film comes out, you're pretty sick of the characters.
Yeah, I suppose it is a little bit like that, because Tiana's now starting to take over Disneyland Paris. There's a lot of stuff appearing in all of the shops. And it does, yeah, it is getting to the point where you learn about it so far in advance that you do get a bit sick of it. I suppose we've seen Princess and the Frog now, so seeing the characters now is not so bad. But, yeah, you do get to see it so much earlier. And I still, you know, I know why they do the whole release in America before here because of half-term dates, things like that. But I just think it was a massive, massive difference this time around. Craig.
French.
We'll come to your gripe in a minute.
No. Oh, good. I am going to get airtime today, am I?
No.
Yes. Yeah, no, we'll give you some airtime in a minute.
Good. Right. Okay. So, proper news then before I have my little moment. Is Disneyland Paris about to become France's largest solar power plant? There are rumours that Disney is going even greener. It's replacing all of its French employees with ones that actually care. No. Rumours are that Disneyland Paris, the Disneyland Paris are planning to cover the 11,000 parking spaces with canopies covered in kind of solar-powered cells. Disney are expecting...
Say what they're really called. What are they really called?
Well, they're photovoltaic.
Nearly. Go on, Karen.
Is that a dinosaur?
Solar panels, it's what you have on your pole.
Photovoltaic, yeah.
I saw it on Jurassic. Oh no, watch out, the photovoltaic.
Disney's are expected to partner with EDF Energy and create their own electricity with the possibility of any extra being sold back to the grid and the prices passed on to those pass offers. Oh no, sorry, they didn't do the last bit. They're just going to sell it back to the grid.
I can imagine getting your reminder bill, you're about to be cut off, just going, you have not paid, you must pay now, with a little picture of Mickey in the top right-hand corner.
It is interesting. My parents have got a place out in Spain, so we go out and see them, and they've got a shopping centre near them that has these sort of canopies on them. And there is an advantage to them. Yes, okay, it's going to bring energy to the park, and hopefully if they're saving money on that, it might be able to mean that they're saving money to put somewhere else. But these canopies work really, really well. We know it gets quite hot in Disneyland Paris in the summer, and it's certainly going to keep your car cool if they do decide to put these things in. Although it's surely going to be an extraordinary cost when they first do it.
Yeah, or they could just buy some greener buses to get more people backwards and forwards.
Yes, unless you're not staying on property.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, forget them.
Because they're the people who sort of park in their car parks normally, isn't it? Those that aren't staying on property. I know some people do use their cars, but you know, I think this is quite a positive move.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's going to be, you know, giving something back in a way. Fastpass then. There's been another update with regards to Fastpass. We know that they're beginning to change the Fastpass return times and things like that to these sort of computerised, well-lit signs. But it seems they're also having an issue, or I know they certainly had an issue, with people putting their tickets into the system and it spitting them out saying that you're not able to get a ticket when you know your ticket's more than valid. So they've put these new swipe card systems on the side of Fastpass machines where you just go up, you use your magnetic strip, and there's also the barcode on there. You just swipe that through and that sends out your ticket straight away, and say it does solve the problems of people losing tickets or the machines not reading the metallic strips. It's also believed that this will cut down on the wait times at the machines, because some of the wait times, especially at places like Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger Spin, is just astronomical, so the amount of wait you have to wait to get a fast pass. So it's good to see that they're beginning to put these new systems in place.
Yeah, anything that sort of picks up. We know that the Fastpass system has been temperamental at best sometimes, yeah, in Paris more than anywhere else. And I assume a lot of it is down to changing weather, whereas Florida has a decent amount of weather and the machines are okay on that.
Yeah,
so anything to pick it up is fine.
And also, one of the, you say they're temperamental, so you put a bend in the middle of your ticket and already, you know, it just doesn't like it then, does it at all?
Well, don't put a bend in the middle of your ticket. See, I'm just saying that.
But, you know, if it does happen by accident, then... There you go. Craig, you want to have a bit of a moan? Well, not a moan. I think this is Craig giving some constructive advice and tips with regards to something he's sort of encountered during the planning for his upcoming trip.
Yes, right. Thank you very much. Right, this is where you cut me off and we go to some other bit of news. No, so I booked...
Thanks a lot. So moving along to Joe.
So shut up. I booked for the kids as a little Christmas present a couple of night trips to Disneyland Paris, as you all know about, at the end of January. And when I booked it, it was, you know, a kind of free Disney dining. I forget what they call it. I think it was all your meals are free, which basically involved breakfast in the hotel, lunch vouchers and dinner vouchers to use in a variety of restaurants. And there was a list of restaurants you could use, including Waltz and Lucky Nugget and some other places. So I thought, this is great. It's exactly what I want. So this week, or last week, actually, I phoned up Paris and speak to the very helpful not people and said, I'd like to book a table at Waltz for Saturday night. So we go through it all. No, you can't book Saturday night. Is it booked up? No, it's not open. What do you mean it's not open? I've got a dinner voucher. No, it's not open. Okay, what restaurants are open in the park? None. So, because the park closes at 8 p.m. on Saturday,
there are no restaurants in the park open at all for dinner. So everyone that is going with an all-you-can-eat free dinner dining experience, you will not be able to use the dining experience in the park. You can only use your lunch, and you have to have your dining experience outside of the park. So I don't think that was very good, considering it said it on their website.
Are you not able to use those vouchers at lunchtime?
No, you have a different voucher for lunchtime. So basically, the voucher has a monetary value. I think it's like €15 an adult for lunch and counter service. And then it's like €35 for dinner. Because I'm in the Sequila Lodge. Mine's a... I think they call it a meal voucher plus, so there was a few extra restaurants.
I think we have to be fair, though, don't we? Because you did contact Disney about this issue, and they have done something to sort of resolve it, haven't they?
They have. So anyone that has the same problem as me, write to dlp.communications@disney.com and moan to them and quote the part of the website which I did, saying this is where I can use my voucher. And what they have done is they have waived the upgrade fee for us to have dinner at the California Grill on the Saturday. Now, the California Grill is running a buffet at the moment, so it's a buffet with characters. I think it's about an extra £50 for the four of us. So they've given me that money back and booked us a table there. So they have kind of resolved it, but it still means I'm not having dinner at Waltz or at Lucky Nugget.
At least, you know,
they could have opened it.
If people have got an issue and they, you know, they're in a similar situation to you with regards to this, then they can email those and hopefully they'll be able to resolve it. You know, California Grill's a decent thing. And also, with regards to California Grill, I know it's an urban sit-down restaurant. They're apparently refurbing the buffet that's next door. I completely forget the name of what it is.
Interventions, is it?
Thing? Something like Interventions, sounds about right. Yeah. They are refurbing that, therefore they've moved the buffet into California Grill for the time being, and then eventually they will go back to normal, which is fine. Yeah. But at least, you know, yes, okay.
That's a well done to them.
They have rectified it, and you know, we'll give them a round of applause for that. Okay, now Craig's finished moaning. We gave him an hour for that, and it only took him 4 minutes. Right, Disneyland Paris Park, then. What have we got, Juz?
Wake up, Juzzy, wake up!
Shiver that moan so many times. I must have been bad this week, so I got Princess Tiana again. Disney Press have released new photos of Princess Tiana and Prince Naveen together on a secluded island somewhere, the sun's pictures, ahead of their appearance in April 2010. Rumours are that Princess Tiana could appear as soon as February. She's only 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Each day, Princess Tiana and her prince, Naveen, will meet and greet guests if you can fight through the crowds and pose for photographs at Town Square Gazebo with lively music by the Dixieland Band, inspired by music from the film. With rumours of closure of the Tiana's Showboat Jubilee, as you said, Adam, this could be on the way to Disneyland Paris as Tiana's Pedalo Jubilee.
Pedalo Jubilee.
I think it'd do really well there, to be honest with you.
I think it would, and there's the actual waterway around the whole of Frontierland where it's likely to have had to happen is clear enough for people to be able to watch it for the majority of its journey around the rivers of America.
Yeah, I think it'd probably fit in better there in some ways than Disney World.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it would. The only interesting thing is, are they going to begin to change it into a multilingual thing, or is it just going to stay as the same recording as they've used in Disney World for the lack of time that they've got, if that, of course, does actually appear, as it's only rumour?
Yeah, good point, isn't it? As long as it's English, I don't mind. It could be as multilingual as I like, as long as it's English.
Right, okay. Craig, let's move over to you then, your last bit of news.
Okay, well, the Tinkerbell that has adorned the top of the castle since the start of the 15th celebration has been kidnapped, stolen, removed, and she's left home.
Delete,
no news. Delete, yeah. No news as to whether this is permanent or if she may return at some point. No ransom has been demanded or paid.
But Craig is number one suspect because he was disgruntled.
Apparently,
exactly.
Apparently, she's been found with a load of cheesecake.
Ah, say no more.
So you got to listen to the old show to know what we're on about.
It was used as a castle lighting ceremony, which finished on the 6th of January.
I can't believe that.
But it may never return.
It was brilliant. Yeah. The little effect with the glitter coming down was great.
There are no tink.
No tink, she's gone. Right, last bit of news then. This is mine. And this is not a worrying bit of news, but it's interesting how quickly it's come up. And that the Castle Bridge has now completely covered and has railings up on either side. Happened around the 5th of January, and they thought it might just be a very temporary thing, but it seems that the coverings are still there. They've now begun to paint each one to try and make it blend in. But rumours are that the bridge was struggling due to the recent cold weather. And apparently freeze rot may have set in. Now, the bridge was closed in February 2008 for a refurb, but there may have, again, been problems with this freeze rot. And basically, it's where the ice gets into the cracks, or water gets into the cracks of the cement, and then freezes, and then it begins to expand, and that weakens the bridge. So it could be that there's a few problems over on the bridge at the castle.
They have many fantastic and very technological rides, yet they can't build a bridge.
We don't know whether this is true. It could have been a scheduled rehab, but there's certainly nothing on the detailed rehab schedules to where, you know, as to this actually happening. So it does seem strange, only sort of a year, 2 years really, after it last went under a rehab, that they're having to do it again. Luckily, it's not being used for any of the shows or anything at the moment, as they did with the 15th anniversary celebration. So it's not so much of an inconvenience. But hopefully they'll get it fixed and it'll be up to its former glory again soon.
Mm-hmm. I'll check the foundations. There might be a fairy under there.
Yeah.
Yes, and lots of cheesecake. Right, that's the news for this edition of the podcast. So thank you again for joining me.
Woohoo, no problem.
So here are the answers to the 18th edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. And it's a bit sad, really, because we're going to give the trivia quiz a bit of a rest for a little while. We've got some new segments we want to try on the show. And don't worry, this trivia quiz will come back to the Disney Brit Podcast. We just want to just freshen things up a little bit and just try out some new ideas. And we will, of course, be bringing it back again. But we couldn't, of course, end without giving you the answers to the trivia quiz that we brought on the last episode of the show. We're going to... Also, after doing that, find out just who got them right. And we're also going to have a special competition, which we're going to run especially for the last Disney Brit Trivia Quiz for now. So without any further ado, let's give you the answers to this edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. Right, so let's give you the answers to this one then. And I thought we'd have a bit of Spectrum Magic in the background. It's one of my favourite tunes for the last trivia quiz answers for now. So here we go then. Let's start back at question one for 100 points, which was, name the Disney MGM studio show where you might ask the audience. And of course, it is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Play It. And with 647-seat theatre, this show, held several times a day, was a replica of the set found on the popular television quiz. Park guests were given the opportunity to take part in the 25-minute show and would not continue on to the next show. Instead of winning a cash prize, guests would rack up points that would be converted to prizes. 32,000 points would earn an embroidered shirt, whereas a jackpot 1 million points would win a Disney cruise vacation for four. Only 126 people won this honour in the attraction's five-year history. Question two, then, for 200 points was, in which ride would you plunge down Chickapin Hill? Nice and short, and it is Splash Mountain. And Chickapin Hill is the final drop on the 10-minute journey through Splash Mountain. The plunge stands at 52.5 feet at a 45-degree angle and sends guests into the briar patch below. The hill is the worst part of the entire attraction, and when Imagineers were creating the ride, they placed it in guests' view on purpose. They thought that if people looked at it and didn't think it looked too bad, then they would be able to cope with the rest of the attraction. This stopped them from joining the queue, only to chicken out just before getting on the rest of the ride. Question three is 300 points, and it is this. What has become the main icon for Disney Hollywood Studios Park? And there was some discrepancy over this. Some people were saying maybe it's the Eiffel Tower. Others were saying that it was Grauman's Chinese Theatre. Whereas the main icon really for Disney Hollywood Studios, you find it at the park maps, pins, things like that, is, of course, the Sorcerer's Hat. And it was placed to mark the 100th year of magic. The Disney company erected this huge hat in front of Man's Chinese Theatre. Built to celebrate the wonders of show business and the magic of Disney, the hat was unveiled on the 1st of September 2001. Stands at 100 feet tall with an interior space of 60,000 cubic feet. Now, during the 100 years of magic celebrations, guests could stand under the hat and use interactive kiosks to find out more about Walt Disney. And after the event, the kiosks were removed and it is now used as a pin trading store as well as the backdrop for most of the special events that are held in the studios. Move on to question four then, and it is this. In which Disney World location would you have found characters such as Hathaway Brown and Otis T. Wren? And it is in the now defunct Adventurers Club. Now, the Adventurers Club was designed by Imagineer Joe Rohde to look like an old English gentleman's club with an eccentric twist. In total, guests could bump into 23 characters played by actors, puppets and animatronics. And as well as being able to pick up a drink, guests were also able to join in many of the club's shows and traditions. These took place in many of the club's rooms, including the Zebra Mezzanine, the Main Salon, the Mask Room, the Treasure Room and the Library. So, Kungaloosh. Question five is this. This was for 500 points. Who owned Pleasure Island before the tragic yachting accident? So who owned Pleasure Island before their tragic yachting accident? And it was a man by the name of Meriwether Pleasure. Now, this eccentric inventor and industrialist, Meriwether Adam Pleasure, brought his paddle steamer and dropped anchor in 1911, according to the story. He brought his family, his wife Isabella, sons Stuart and Henry, and young daughter Miriam. He had come to Florida to become the foremost manufacturer of sails and built up the island to become the epicenter of his business. Now, each of the buildings on Pleasure Island link into the story and each have a placard on them to explain how they came about. You can hear on an old episode the story of Pleasure Island. The Portobello Yacht Club was the home of Meriwether Pleasure and his family, and they outgrew the paddle steamer, which is actually Fulton's Crab House. Then they built the Adventurers Club so that Pleasure could keep all of his treasures he had collected during his adventures. After his many trinkets began to take over the house, Isabella told him, "It's me, all the artifacts." And this is when the Adventurers Club was created to host his adventuring friends and all of the goodies that they brought with them. In 1941, while circumnavigating the Antarctic, Meriwether's boat, the Domino, pitchpoled, and both Meriwether and his daughter Miriam were lost at sea. Right, let's move on to the next one then, which is question 600 points, sorry. In which pavilion will you find the control room for Illuminations? And most of you got this right, or I think all of you, which is Mexico. The show is controlled from a booth at the top of Mexican Temple. Although it is well hidden, you can see it if you look carefully enough. The show has to synchronise a giant globe, fountains, fireworks, lasers, torches, the Inferno Barge, as well as music to create such a spectacular show. Nearly there then, let's head on to question 7 for 700 points. I thought this was going to get a little bit harder, but it seems you guys are just getting far too good at this. Name the sailor who, according to the story, ran his ship aground at Stormalong Bay in Disney's Yacht and Beach Club Resort. And the answer is Sailor Stormalong. Now, legend has it that many, many years ago, a sailor named Stormalong would sail his vessel through these parts. And during one trip, Stormalong ran his ship aground where the bay now stands. He hit the shore with such force that he tore into the sand and created large pools of water. His boat was stuck in the middle with its 150-foot mast, and the mini water park was created where the old boat stands and was named in honour of this once great sailor. And the final one then, question 8 for 800 points. Minnie has two nieces. Can you name them? And their names are Melody and Millicent. Now, Minnie's niece has appeared in several comic strips, comic books and cartoons in the 30s and 40s. Their first appearance was in Walt Disney's Comics and Stories, number 87, followed by an appearance in the 1934 cartoon Gulliver Minnie. Neither of the nieces appeared in a film together, but evidence suggests that Melody appeared in the 1983 feature-length cartoon Mickey's Christmas Carol. Well, on this occasion, we got a record number of emails in from people who had entered the competition. I'm pleased to say that every single person got it right. Firstly, we want to say well done to Casey. Sent us an email saying, "Hello all, love the show and keep it up. Here are my answers to questions for show number 32. Thanks for all you do." So that was Casey who got all of those correct. So well done to her. Excellent stuff. We've also got Kim. It says, "Hiya, Kimmy here, stalker girl, though I prefer to be called super fan. Please find my answers below." And that's from Kimmy. She did indeed get all of those correct, so well done to her. Excellent, excellent news. We also have Kerry Francis, who also got all of those correct, so well done to you, Kerry, which is excellent news. And also, well, I think we just do really, really well. Well done to Chloe Eid. She did really well. She got one incorrect, but I'm going to give her a shout-out anyway because she did extremely well with that, which means, you know, we had some great people emailing in, and most of you got all of them correct. So excellent. Well done to you guys. And, of course, as always, Brian and Tom Jackson, who always get all of them right. Almost pretty much always get all of them right. So well done to you guys as well. So what I said was, as this is the last one we're going to do for a while, I said we're going to do a bit of a trivia quiz, a bit of a competition, I suppose, which is going to result in four questions. Each of these questions have answers that are date-related. So we're looking for four different dates from you guys for this one. We've got a couple of prizes we're going to give away for it as well, so we're going to have to make sure you get your answers in. They are as follows. First is a Vinylmation park number 2 from the Park 2 series. We've got Vinylmation. It's completely unopened, and we have been talking about giving this away on the show, and we finally got round to finding the competition to do it. So there is a Vinylmation park number 2 series to give away, and also a copy of the Mickey's Magical Party Time CD, the brand new one that came out only a few months ago, end of 2009. Got a copy of that for you, which has all sorts of things on it. It has the Mickey's Magical Party Time instrumental, has all of a load of the music from the actual Party Time show in the middle of Main Street down at the bottom of the hub. Got some music from He's a Pirate, some Hillbilly Trio stuff, and also one that I don't think has been released before, which is the Once Upon a Time Sleeping Beauty music. That's nearly 13 minutes worth of music there. Well worth listening to. Got my own copy of that CD, and we're going to be giving that away. But what are the questions we're going to give you? Right, you need to listen very carefully, because there are four questions, as I've said. Each of them are date-related. Okay, so here is question number one. Walt Disney was born when? So we're looking for the date and the year. What is the date of birth of Walt Disney? Okay, that is question number one. So what is the date of birth of Walt Disney? Question two is the following, okay? So we've tried to cover all of the areas, and this is the next one. On which day did Disneyland Paris officially change its name from Euro Disney? So on which day did Disneyland Paris officially change its name from Euro Disney? So that is question number two. Told you they were all date related, so there's the second one. Question number three is as follows. It is this. Question number three, which is, let me just find it, here we go. When did the Magic Kingdom's first thrill attraction, Space Mountain, open? So what was the date of the opening of Space Mountain? And finally, last one, can you tell me the date of which The Lion King, the film The Lion King, was released to the general public? Okay, there are your four questions. Send in your answers by email. Remember to the new email address, which is podcast@disneybrit.com. Okay, please send them to podcast@disneybrit.com, and we will announce the winner on the next show, which is due out in 2 weeks' time. So good luck with that. You have got until Monday, the 1st of February at midnight UK time. Monday, the 1st of February, midnight UK time, to get your answers in. And as I've said, we will announce the winners on the next edition of the show. So good luck. No, I'm not.
day 16. Here we are, audio diary, third day on the Disney Wonder, and all I can say is, wow. We went to Castaway Key today, Disney's very own paradise tropical island here in the Bahamas. And if you've ever wanted to swim in blue sea and sit on white sand, this is the place to come. We started again the day at breakfast, went over to Parrot Key for breakfast this morning. And then we got off the boat a little bit earlier than last time, probably about 10 o'clock, and headed our way down to Castaway Key. We got off the boat, and as we went to catch the tram, in front of us was the original Flying Dutchman from the Pirates of the Caribbean. It's actually moored up here all of the time. And then we made our way onto the tram down to the Family Beach. Now, one of the things they have at the Family Beach, which is excellent, we didn't take the stroller. We thought we don't need to take the buggy with us. Probably won't work on the sand anyway. So little Harry walked. And just as we arrived, we found that they provide for free children's strollers that are able to be pushed through sand. It was excellent. So we took this stroller onto the beach with us, found a few loungers, took Harry in, got all of his armbands, and there in front of us was this vista of blue sea and gorgeous white sand. So we set ourselves up. I went, and my dad as well, went and got our snorkel hire. Because you can rent snorkel gear, and we picked that up early, put those down on our lounges, and just went for a swim in the sea. And the water was beautiful, the island was beautiful, I don't think I can say any more. The good thing, because you're on a cruise, drinks and food is included, which meant drinks on the island, soft soda, things like that, you can just go and get it whenever you wanted. There was Cookies Barbecue that was available for you to go and eat as well. There was also kids activities. If you had children 3 or above who were potty trained, they were also able to go off to their own place to go and enjoy games and activities on the island. Teens also have their own beach. There was an adults only beach, and there was also the family beach there on the island itself. Well, we enjoyed a lot of swimming. We had factor 50 suntan cream on, knowing how harsh the Bahaman sun can be, and I decided to go snorkeling. And as you started off in the shallow, it was very, very misty, very murky. But as you swam further and further out, the water became clearer and clearer. Fish began to appear. And Disney have very cleverly hidden many, many things. There's loads of different coloured buoys in the water. And if you swim out to them, you'll discover all sorts of stuff. I discovered some sunken treasure, a boat. I discovered a shipwreck, which had a Mickey Mouse on the very, very front of it. And I also discovered, and this was the coolest thing, it was the farthest thing out to the left, about 3/4 mile out from the beach, was an actual sunken submarine from the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea attraction at Walt Disney World, which was extremely cool. So I managed to get a photo of that as well. We spent most of the day at Castaway Key. We had some lunch from Cookies Barbecue, which was lovely. We got some ice cream from there. We had plenty to drink during the day. I did sunburn, even with factor 50. I have now got a sunburn back, which is quite painful, but it's healing itself. And we headed back to the boat after we'd finished all that, put up a few things, a few bits of merchandise at Castaway Key on, and headed back to our boat. We then were having dinner in Parrot Key that evening. So, bearing in mind that, we'd eaten Parrot Key for most breakfast, it wasn't one I was particularly looking forward to, but I was surprised. The food, I think, was probably the best out of the 3 nights. I enjoyed Triton's atmosphere, but the food was absolutely fantastic. The sort of the way it was presented, the clothing for the waiters, they did a limbo halfway through, they got the kids up dancing around the restaurant. The sort of thing you wouldn't normally find on a lot of other cruises. They keep it quite formal at dinner time, but really, really enjoyed the food. Because I was sunburnt, I wasn't feeling particularly too well. I've decided I'm not going to go to the show this evening. Unfortunately, I'm not going to see Disney Dreams. I'll try and watch it on the stateroom television. But I did forget to say on the last audio diary, we saw Toy Story the Musical on the second day of our cruise. And I was really, really looking forward to this. It's the only place in the world you can see this musical. And I was a little bit disappointed. I just didn't quite feel it worked as well as I was hoping it would. But hey, there we go. That's what happens. Disney tried to adapt it, so obviously they had to change some of the storylines. Some of the songs were great, some of the songs were a bit funny. There was one that Sid had, which I think was there for the purpose of a scene change, but for me just didn't quite work. So it was okay, I'm glad I saw it, but it's not one I'll be rushing back to again if I get back. Okay, so there is the third day on our cruise for this audio diary.
Right, let's move ourselves on then. We are starting a brand new segment, which we've entitled Around the World in 80 Segments, of which we need to sort of explain a little bit about what this is all about. We are going to try and create for you a bit of an audio-style guidebook, giving you all sorts of information to do with all of the areas of Walt Disney World, and eventually we will move on to Disneyland Paris. And we've broken the whole resort up into loads of different sections, and we're going to go park by park, land by land, sort of criteria by criteria, and we're going to talk to you about each of the areas. We're going to give you some of our opinions, some of our tips, etc., to do with each of those. And we're starting off with Main Street USA, and we're going to be concentrating on this edition on the rides, the shows, the parades, and the attractions that come down Main Street USA. And then we're going to move on to the dining and shopping of Main Street USA on the next edition of the show. So we're going to do rides and attractions one day, and then Juz's favourite bit, we're going to do the food and stuff on the other one as well. So, Main Street USA, as you all know, is the entrance to the park, designed to be turn-of-the-century, sort of iconic and inspired by Marcelin, Missouri, the home of Walt Disney. So we've got, when we walk in, City Hall, which is a really important place for a lot of people who don't necessarily know it's there. You walk in, it's on the left-hand side. Great place for your information, for your guest relations, for your lost and found, and for your buttons, which is a really, really good place to get any buttons to do with celebration, whether it be anniversary, birthdays, a lot. Also, there's an ATM there as well, so you can go and get your cash out if you need to. And I'm right thinking that's the place you get Disney dollars from, don't you?
It certainly is my favourite place.
It is your favourite place. Is there anything else you can get from City Hall? I'm not convinced there is. Oh, it's where you get your disabled maps and...
get your guest assistance card from
guest
there.
Guest assistance card, that's what I'm thinking of. Tour guides, things like that all come from City Hall, don't they, I think?
Yeah. But definitely the most important thing... the most important thing he's missed off there, Jazz, which I'm surprised by Adam and his newfound kind of hobby.
Yeah. Trading.
Pin trading. The guys there have great, you know, the great big books you can buy.
Yeah.
Full up. Absolutely full up. You can do two trades at a time.
You know,
and they are chocker.
I honestly didn't know that. There we go. There's a little tip coming from old Craig there. So that's good to know. Also on Main Street is the place. If you're looking at Main Street, you're coming under the bridge and walking under the sort of the tunnel for the railway station. On the right hand side, as you come through, is a place for your wheelchair and your stroller rental there as well. Strollers are now, I think it's $15 per day to rent a single stroller, $31 for a double. If you're going to need a stroller for longer, then you can rent them at a multi-day rate of $13 per day for a single and $27 per day for a double. Wheelchairs are $12 per day rental. There's no deposit in the theme parks, which I think is brilliant, bearing in mind there's a €150 deposit at Disneyland Paris. There's no deposit at the theme parks, but there is a $100 deposit if you're that's charged to your credit card if you rent it at Downtown Disney. And then it's $10 per day for your length of stay rental as well. ECV rentals are $50 per day with a $20 refundable deposit. Must be 18 years or older to rent ECVs as well. Does anybody here rented wheelchairs or anything like that before?
No. Not on wheelchairs or shoulders.
I have, yeah. No, I've my dad and... my mother-in-law both had ECVs, actually.
Oh, they did?
So, yeah, no, they both had those. And it's been pretty seamless and easy to do, to be honest with you. You go in, you pay your, I think it was $45 at a time and a $20 deposit. And they're pretty easy to use. They show you how to do. They give you a key and a phone number. And away you go. So, yeah, I mean, we were kind of worried that they wouldn't have them. You kind of panicked that, you know, they both needed one. And there wouldn't be any. But no, there were lots of them there, and the people were really friendly and helpful.
Anybody rented strollers?
No, we bought strollers in the past.
The same, yeah.
Exactly. Never. No, I think I don't understand people that do, to be honest.
We took our own. Most people go to Walmart and buy one rather than actually going and renting them from the parks. It seemed quite expensive. Just a little bit more about the length of stay rentals for strollers and wheelchairs. You go and you make your one payment for as many days as you can after you rent those particular items. But it's interesting that the length of stay option is not offered during peak attendance times, such as Christmas and things like that. So if you are going during the peak times, do ask that question before you you think about going for your length of stay, because it may turn out that you're not going to be able to do it. And again, it's probably cheaper for you to go and get wheelchairs and or a stroller, certainly from Walmart, somewhere like there. Locker rentals, same place. You go and get your locker rentals, $9 per day plus a $5 key deposit. And then smaller lockers are $7 per day with a $5 key deposit. And the key must be returned within an hour of park closing. If it's not returned within an hour of park closing, then you don't get your deposit or anything back, basically. Right, so let's head into Main Street a little bit further. And we've got, as you're standing there, and on the, I think it's on your right-hand side, as you're standing in Town Square, you've got the Town Square Exposition Hall, which is the home for Disney's PhotoPass. How have your experiences been with PhotoPass?
Fine. I mean, we've used it more and more, to be honest with you, than we ever used to. It just takes a lot of the hassle out. And plus, you know, in reality, make sure that they take a picture of you, then you give you your camera, and they take a picture of you using your camera as well.
That's one of the things I really like about the PhotoPass, is the fact that they are more than happy to take a photo with yours as well as theirs as well. There's no sort of competition. They're not sort of rude and say no. They do. They're quite good for doing that. Do you know, how many photos do you buy from the PhotoPass each trip?
We make sure we've got enough for a full CD to make it worthwhile.
Okay, Craig?
Yeah, I've never actually bought them. I've looked at them online because I've always used the ones that, you know, they take one with theirs and then they take one with ours, and they're just as good. But, I mean, there's lots of people I know that you can share CDs, and there's lots of people on forums that do that, and there's, you know, like the other group saying, are you going in and want to share a CD? Because you can get benefit from that. The only thing I would say for them, they take the most wonderful nighttime photographs because they're all set up with their tripod and their flash Nikon Disney Brit Adam type cameras. and I think, you know, the CD really is where the value is at, and to prepay, I don't know if you prepay your jobs, but they're slightly cheaper, aren't they?
Yeah,
to prepay.
Yeah, get discount.
Yeah,
and I don't think I think you're dead right. I don't think I can speak more highly of the nighttime photos they take, because I've got a camera that's similar sort of standard, not as good, but fairly similar, and I can't for the life of me get a really decent nighttime photo, but they every time is just perfect, so it's well worth going to see those guys. You can also get camera accessories, films, batteries, all that sort of stuff. They also do something, this is a little known fact, is you can actually get your digital photos from your camera put onto a CD by the exhibition hall as well, if you run out of space. So they do that. I think
I've actually had my pictures put on CD, and that you can pick them up elsewhere. So if you're at Magic Kingdom and you want to pick your CD up at Epcot one, you can tell them that and get it picked up there. And the reason I did that is because I'm always panicky about cameras going through X-ray machines on the way back. Yeah. There's fear in my head that they're going to wipe one day my SD card.
That's a very good point, yeah. That's a good point. So was it expensive, do you remember?
No, I thought it was really reasonable. We've got a full CD. You know how many pictures you take when you're over there. So we got the full maximum CD worth. But the reason I know that is because we did get order at Magic Kingdom and we picked it up the next day because we're at Epcot. And we said, we're going to be at Epcot. This is fine. We'll get so you can pick up the CD over there.
Oh, that's good. Also, did you guys know where the mural is at the Exposition Hall?
No.
No?
Say no to make it look like it's good.
No, where is it? No, honestly, if you've never been, if to the right of the exposition hall, there's sort of a back area. I know Lou Mangiello recently used it for his last, his first sort of meet of the month that he did a live show from. And basically, it's the area which used to be the Walt Disney Story. Has a theatre back there, and this is a little known to people who aren't real Disney fans, but really do go check this out because it's amazing. If you go through the door on that right hand side and you head down, it was the area where they had some of the previews for Animal Kingdom, for Epcot, for Hollywood Studios, or MGM as it was. And this mural has 170 different characters painted on it. The last one, I think, was Basil the Great Mouse Detective, was the last film they updated it with. But there's some great photo opportunities there to stand in front of that mural and get photos taken with the kids, things like that. Right, rides then. Most people, when they think about Main Street, think rides. There's not many rides. Well, there's a few, and we're going to go on to those in the shows and everything. And what we're going to do with each of these sections is we're going to talk about, firstly, what they are, talk about who are they for, and we've got several different categories. We've got babies, toddlers, tweens, teens, 20s to 40s, and 40s plus. We're then going to rate them out of 5 stars. We'll also bring you information such as whether they've got FastPass, what the access is for people who are in wheelchairs, etc., and any other tips we've got with regards to each attraction. So the first ride that you come to is the Main Street vehicles, and there are a series of different vehicles that you're able to ride one way from Main Street, the bottom of Main Street, up to the castle, or the other way. There's horseless carriages, there's a replica of a fire engine, there's jitneys and horse-drawn trolleys. And now, I can't remember, and I was having this discussion with Zoe the other day, about, is there a horse-drawn carriage in Main Street USA?
I'm sure there is, because I'm sure it's gone past and it goes straight into the... It does, because the horses come from Fort Wilderness Campgrounds.
See, that's exactly
horse
what
area.
I thought. That's exactly what I thought, and I'm glad you said that, because I know they've definitely got them in Disneyland Paris, and I was racking my brains as to whether I could remember there being horse-drawn carriage. I thought they were, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Who's it for, then? Who's this designed for?
To be honest with you, from my perspective, I don't know what crazy is, I would say toddlers like it, tweens tolerate it, teens would kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, Jazz. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we've tried to queue up before to go on the fire engine, and just it's been too long a wait because they're always jam-packed when they kind of go up there. So we've never actually done it, but Kieran was quite disappointed. So yeah, I agree with you, Jazz. That's what I would say.
And obviously, 20s to 40s and your 40s plus are okay. Babies are all right, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just a ride for them. They're not getting any benefit out of it, but no, toddlers love it.
Yeah, toddlers do love it, especially if you've got the sort of toddlers who like the sort of trains and that sort of stuff. But some of them are on tracks in the middle of the road. They are, you know, deem it as being some sort of train or something like that. What would you rate it out of 5 stars?
I'd go for a 3-star.
Craig?
Well, 2.
Ooh. I'm going to go for 3 stars as well. No fast pass. If you do want to ride it and you are in a wheelchair, you must transfer from the wheelchair to ride. I'm not quite sure how it works with it being one way, whether or not they put the wheelchair on collapsed form and you pick it up the other end. I don't know how that works. But streetcars, but let's compare it slightly to how long it takes you to walk down Main Street and how long it takes in the vehicle. The streetcars are about 3 minutes. It's about 2.5 minutes for the antique car, about 2.5 minutes for the jitney, and 2.5 minutes for the fire engine. So there's not much difference, I think, walking and riding, is there?
No, walking, I can do it in about 10 seconds going in. Walking, coming out of the park, takes about an hour because I don't want to leave.
But unfortunately, on the way out, more often than not, if you go later in the day, the vehicles aren't running anyway because of how busy it is with people exiting the park.
But I'll be honest with you, if you want to have a go at this, I would say the best time to do it is first thing in the morning, because everyone else is more concerned about getting to the rides than standing at the little post waiting for the vehicle to come in.
Or if you want to take some time just wandering around, it's always good to get it at the top by the castle and take it down the street, because a lot of people aren't doing that. And then if you want to, walk back up again afterwards. It's also another way of doing it.
Yeah.
Walt Disney World Railroad is our next attraction. This, obviously, is not just an attraction for Main Street, but for several others as well. It's a scenic route around Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom, stops at Main Street USA, Frontierland, and, for the moment, Mickey's Toontown Fair. Again, who's this designed for? I think babies are quite happy on there, aren't they? Toddlers, especially, again, my son absolutely loves trains. He just goes mad for trains. So this is just absolute heaven for him. Again, your tweens, I suppose you're pushing it a little bit. Your teens, no way. Your 20s to 40s and your 40s plus, definitely, because it means you can have a sit down for 20 minutes and not have to walk anywhere.
The difference is with 40 plus, we can actually sit there and go, this is how we used to travel.
That's very true, yeah.
At least I get a seat on it when I go, which is more than I get when I'm going to work.
Oh, here we go again. He's off on one.
No. Being very positive.
Now, you see, I really like the train. I just think it's one of those iconic attractions that, you know, really makes Magic Kingdom stand out from a lot of other places. And, you know, I really enjoy going on that round circle trip. You know, just getting on at Main Street and getting back, getting off at Main Street. I'm quite happy, you know, to take that 20-minute journey. And it's a, sort of a really family thing for us that we enjoy doing it. And Harry absolutely loves being on them as well. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. For this one,
I'm going to get 5 out of 5 because unless you get on it, you don't realize how many bits and pieces they put round there. Like you can see into Splash Mountain, yeah. You see Pocahontas. There's a lot of bits for you to see going round. It's attraction in its own right. It's just nice to chill out.
Yeah, it is. Craig,
I agree with you. I'd give it 4.5 to 5. I think it's lovely. just a shame it doesn't stop in more places, really. But I don't really get off it, so it doesn't really bother me that much. But it would be nice if it stopped somewhere else, especially when Toontown goes. You're going to just have, you know, Frontierland and that's it, back again. But no, I really, really like it, and I would always go on it.
And there's no fast pass for this one either. Craig, what do you suggest the best time to ride this is?
Well, I tend to go on it when it's quite hot and I need a rest, actually, because it's a nice 20-minute sit-down to go all the way around. So when the kids, you know, if I'm going from one area to the other, from Main Street or around the castle area to Frontierland, then we'd go on it.
Yeah.
But I would tend to go on it during the middle of the day, to be honest with you.
And it's always better to, if you go in the middle of the day, sort of 11 o'clock, it's just, that's when the people really start to head into the park. If you're thinking about doing a round trip, you're much better trying to get on Frontierland than you are in Main Street USA, because there's usually less of a queue. You need to transfer from ECV vehicles to a standard wheelchair to ride this ride as well. The only tips I can think of really to tell you about is that it stops at Main Street USA, it stops at Frontierland. This, in 2010... Mickey's Toontown Fair is expected to close at some point because of the Fantasyland expansion.
Yeah.
There are rumours, whether this is true or not, I don't know, but there are rumours that the railroad could go down for a few months, 2 to 4 months, because of the work that's going to be going on over there. So do expect that it may not be open when you go. I'm hoping that isn't going to be the case, but it's possible that that may in fact happen. So do just double check that before you go, if you're, you know, really intent on going on the railroad. Right, they're the only rides that you find over on Main Street. So we're going to head to shows and parades. Again, one of these parades isn't particularly, well, two of them really isn't just a Main Street thing, but as Main Street seems to be the place where most people will stop and watch them, we've included them in this section of the park. So we're going to start off with the Celebrate a Dream Come True parade, which began back as part of, well, it's sort of a reincarnation over several years. It's sort of similar floats with a slightly different theme, slightly different music. Again, who is this designed for? You know, we've got babies. Would you say babies would enjoy the Celebrated Dream Come True parade?
Yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, they'd be sitting in their stroller strapped in, and it gives you a good vantage point, because if you've got a stroller, then you've got a spot.
That's
to sit
true.
Down.
And so, you've got the fairly bright colours as well, which attract the eye.
And it's loud, it's noisy.
Toddlers.
Yeah. Definitely.
Again, be very aware that the characters walk down the street. So, you know, if you've got a toddler who isn't particularly happy about seeing huge characters come towards them, don't shove them towards the front. Tweens. Jez, what do you reckon? Tweens?
Do you know what? Girl tweens. No, I'm going to say tweens, yes. Because I'm going to say it's at that age where they're not completely have to be cool in front of the mates, but away from their mates. And, you know, there's characters there that everyone can relate to. So Muppets and all that a lot. So I go, yeah, definitely girl tweens, big thumbs up. Boy tweens, I think they still enjoy it.
That's a good point, actually, because the Muppet pre-parade that's there now will probably be aimed more towards the teens and the tweens, would it not? I don't know, teens. Do you think teens are the sort of people who are going to...
Can I just say, I think they'll enjoy it, but they won't tell you they're enjoying it.
Yeah, I think it's that sort of, we're enjoying it, we won't admit to it. 20s to 40s and 40s.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, not a problem. Although I would say... more the 20s to 40s, especially the 20s to 30s, I would say. Probably if you've seen it a couple of times, there's some people who might not want to stay and watch it again. But
well, yeah, I think 20s to 40s would be the ones who are perhaps you're doing the ride while you're still watching the parade.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Interesting point is that the Main Street parade, the parade used to run from Frontierland to Main Street, and in 2009 they altered the direction. It now goes from Main Street to Frontierland. And then, of course, it brings the age-old question of, which cast members get asked, what time is the 3 o'clock parade?
What time is it?
Well, I think it's interesting, because the answer is, it depends where you stand. If you stand on Main Street, it's at 3 o'clock. If you stand at the top of Main Street, it's 3:10. And if you stand Frontierland way, you're looking at more like 3:15.
So it's a valid point, then?
So it is a valid point, yeah. So there we go. There's an interesting question that's always brought up. People laugh because people say, what time is the 3 o'clock parade? But it's actually got a very valid point to it. The next parade, which was rumoured to sort of end at the end of 2009, but has been so popular they've kept it going, is the Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It Street Party, which I... Oh, actually, no, we haven't rated Celebrate a Dream Come True out of 5. What are you going for out of 5, Juz?
Ooh, I'm tempted to go. I'm going to go 5.
I'm going to go 4, just because it's very, very similar to the reincarnations before. What about you, Craig?
I'm going to go 3 because I much prefer Remember the Magic.
But can I just point out here, would your scores change if you've never been to see it before? And if I'm
Yeah, yes, I think you're right. I think mine would change if I'd not seen it before.
So if this is my first ever year to go out this year, and I said to you guys, celebrate a dream come true, how would you rate it to me? Ignoring your past, how would you rate, should I go and watch it or not? Should it be all?
It'd be a yes, yeah. It'd be a yes for that, shall I?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I think it's, you know, compared to the other two parades in the other parks, I think it's the better one. So
I think we're in always that bad situation that we compare to what we've been previously.
That's very good. That's a very good point.
Still only getting a 3, though.
Right. So grumpy, isn't he? Move it, shake it, celebrate it, street park. We'll go back there then. So babies. You know, see, I'm going to stick my neck out here and say no. Because it's very, very loud. And a lot of the stuff is very high up. I'm not convinced it's right for babies.
I think babies will... You can bop them along to the music, but not actually get too heavily involved in it.
Yeah. Toddlers, yes.
Yeah.
Tweens, I think I'd say definitely. But, well, there's a lot of music such as Hannah Montana and things like that as part of it.
Yeah.
So even just purely for the type of music, I think we can say yes to that. Teens... I suppose we could say teens. Teens would probably enjoy it more than the Celebrate Dream Come True. Would I be right in saying that?
Do you know, I think it did actually... Right, you actually disappeared for a second then, mate.
Okay, I'll go back to that one.
When I just said, oh yeah, Craig will enjoy it, just pick it up from there.
Okay. I didn't hear that bit. A teen.
Or did I?
Oh, hang on. Okay. Teens, you see... I think they'd probably enjoy this more than they would the Celebrate a Dream Come True. Do you not think?
I find this more of a background thing rather than going to sit and watch just something to see go past.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I haven't really paid any attention to the show at the top.
Yeah, I like it because it just pops down whatever in the shops or whatever. But I don't know. I think probably you could get them to boogie a bit, especially the girls with Hannah Montana.
Out of 5 stars, what would you give it?
I'll go for 3.
Craig?
Based on my previous score, I have to give it a 2.
Oh, he really is being harsh on the old parades. I think I'm going to give it a 3. I don't think it's not quite as good as Celebrate a Dream Come True. It's still good, though. It does run up to 3 times a day. It does stop at the top of Main Street or by the Castle Forecourt stage, and they have a brief show and a character meet and greet that happens there before it travels back down Main Street. My biggest problem with this attraction, and again, it's me being the Disney fan that I am, is that the Main Street music that goes on throughout the parade, and I suppose it's the same with Celebrate a Dream Come True, in the fact that the music that comes from these parade floats is nowhere near the sort of era that Main Street is supposed to evoke. So that's just a sort of petty thing, really. But, you know,
what were they thinking?
I know. Right, next parade, Spectro Magic. Who is it for? So, babies?
There's a lot of loud noises and music. I would say not necessarily myself.
Yeah,
but
I would sort of agree with you. And also it's very, very late, usually, when it's on in regards to baby's clock. So maybe not. Toddlers...
bordering, yeah. I would say.
Tweens?
Yeah.
Teens?
Yes, because they would go on about how cool it looks.
Yeah, yeah, and I think 20s to 40s and 40s plus, I think we can definitely say it is. It does not run nightly, though. Do check the times guides and stuff like that, because it doesn't always run every single night. It sort of alters during the week. One week, when I was looking through the times guides and things, it ran Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. Next week, it ran Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So do double-check what night it's going to be on. If you're desperate to see it, make sure it's the day you go to the park. Often runs just before the fireworks. It's usually about an hour before the fireworks somewhere around there. It was recently updated. There's some newer costume and lighting effects. What does it last? About 20 minutes or so?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
36 different units in total. Again, runs from Main Street to Frontierland. They've changed the direction of that as well. What would you give it out of 5?
I'll give it a big 5.
I would give it 6 out of 5 if I possibly could. I just think it's fantastic. Craig?
110 out of 5.
Okay, you're just being silly now, aren't you?
No, I absolutely love it to bits. It's one of my favourite things in the park. I would always watch it. Don't care how many times I've seen it. I adore the music to it. I have it as my ringtone. I just love it.
I really love it. And the only thing I'd say about it, though, is the first couple of times I've taken the kids to see it, when they turn the lights out in the park, they just get a little bit, it's very, very busy, and they just get a little bit nervous when it's very, very dark.
As a tip, if you want to be in a place where it's not so dark, if you stand directly in front of the castle, then you do get a little bit of glow off the lights that are on the castle, so it's not so dark there.
Yeah.
So that's one place to watch it. This is one of my favourite parades. The only parade that beats this is Fantillusion in Disneyland Paris. I love that show. Nearly as much. Spectrum Magic's probably up there with it, but not quite as much. Right, show on the Castle Forecourt stage then, Dream Along with Mickey. What do we think of Dream Along with Mickey?
I walked past him. I'm sorry.
Craig?
My problem with those ones on the Castle Forecourt is we tend to kind of be there around when it's really hot in the middle of the day, and so you're standing out and it's absolutely blistering hot looking up, so you kind of, you know, you're looking up to the castle and the sun's beating down on you. I quite like it. I think it's an alright story, and it's quite nice to see Mickey up there and the kids to see him, but you know, I wouldn't queue particularly. Actually, I've never seen a queue for it. I've been able to walk right near the front, you know, hold the kids up, go for it. So it's all right.
Quite a wide space, isn't there, for you to be able to watch it? Well, it does run six times a day as well, so it's
During our Disney Brit meet, I think, as well, didn't it?
No, that was the celebrate to dream. The Movie Shecky celebrate it. We were trying to do the Disney Brit meet. We were trying to do some audio, and every time we went to start, the music blared up from Movie Shecky celebrate it. I think it took us about 15 minutes to actually start the quiz and everything, so everyone could hear us. But the Dream Along with Mickey show, interesting, it's called Dream Along with Mickey, yet the story focuses mainly on Donald. But the one thing I really, really like about this is the fact that they use the animatronic movement in the characters' faces. So you can see what they're saying. Their eyes blink, their mouths move a lot, which I think is fantastic. Do you not agree? Do you not think that's brilliant?
Creepy.
It is a little bit creepy because we're so used to their mouths not moving and their faces not moving, and suddenly they do. And it does creep you out to start off with. But I really like the fact that they do that. Be aware of the loud fireworks that go off a few times towards the end. It is normally that they have the sort of daytime fireworks that go off, so be prepared for those and for any little kids you've got who aren't particularly big fans of them. Show lasts around 20 minutes. Out of 5, what are you giving it, Craig?
2.
Oh, Juz?
Well, I gave the Movie Shake it 2, so they're about half each other.
Juz?
1.
See, I'm going 3 again, possibly a 4. See, you guys have been. Why have you gone for 1? Do you really not like it that much?
I'd spend my time that sort of 20 minutes going on a ride. It's a lot better quality. You know, it's just always that you tend to see bits of it as you walk through the hub and stuff like that, and you think, no, I'd rather go and hit. You know, it's great for Fantasyland. You know, people with pops, little strollers, little tiny ones, and stuff like that. But no, for me, I'd rather go and do a ride with the kids.
But I'll ask you the same question you asked me earlier, which was the idea of if someone was going and had never been before, would you recommend they stayed and watched it?
No, because I think you've got better shows there to watch throughout the day, which are definite do's.
I'm with you, Jeff, actually.
Any good for babies?
Yeah.
Toddlers?
Yeah.
I think when you get to your tweens, you're all right. Your teens, I think you've had.
No.
Your 20s to 40s, not so much, I don't think.
No, don't think so.
And then your 40s plus. Was
only if there's a kid involved.
Yeah, I think you're
exactly
right. I think it's more of a child's show more than anything else. And we move on to the biggie, the final one for this segment, which is Wishes. The big fireworks display that does happen every single evening, usually performed on or towards closing time. Again, it lasts around 20 minutes or so. It's a fairly decent length show. I think it's about 15 minutes in total. What's your opinion on Wishes?
I think it's the most amazing show there is, but it is tainted for me.
Why?
I'm not the biggest lover of crowds, and I find it is one of the most congested shows there is. And I don't like it for that reason, which is why I think Illuminations will win always out, because there's a lot of space for me. And this is what I'm going to say before I answer that. If you've got little kids, be aware it is incredibly crowded. You have to grab a spot if you want to go to the hub very early. People aren't most pleasant because it's night time and people are tired. And never, ever try to leave with the herd.
Now, I'm gonna bring up my tip again that I gave recently on one of my audio diary bits that I did when I was out there. And I got blasted for saying this last time. And I'm going to say it again anyway, because I still think it's valid. And I think it's valid for those people who don't like crowds, who may have seen it before and who want to get away. And that is, if you've seen it and you sort of want to see it, but you don't want to stand and watch it properly, if you stand at the top of Main Street and there's three segments of the show, and at the end of the second segment you turn and go, you miss all the crowds. The good thing is the music for Wishes is played all the way through as you exit, and the music is even played up at the monorail station. And we did this last time because Harry was very, very tired. We wanted to stay and watch the fireworks, and we just got a bit too much. And we found that you can walk out of the park and you can sort of turn and watch them as you go. And you can actually, usually if you pace it right, get yourself up to the monorail station and you're able to watch the finale before getting onto the monorail. And I know people are going to say probably again, but what's the point? Mm-hmm. You're there to watch the fireworks. What's the point in going off halfway through? But if you are in a position where you do need to go, you can still watch the fireworks from the distance. You can watch them from Polynesian. You can do it as you're going out. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, is there?
Yeah, I think my tip would be, to be honest, you know, this is not an expensive tip. The most moving place I've ever watched Wishes, and the most place where I felt perfect as a family, is we got on the pontoon boats that took us round the lake beforehand, parked us up, that you can eat and drink as much as you like. And as a family, we sat there with little rugs over us on the sea, on the lagoon, dead quiet. We didn't go for the pipe music bit because you can actually hear the music quite clear. And that, to me, was the most romantic, the most family moment I've ever had, and there was no crowds.
Ah, that's good to know. So,
true, yeah.
You know, but you're going to say, Craig?
No, what I was going to say about Wishes was, and I know that you did get kind of some negative comments about what you said, Adam, but I think there's nothing worse than if you've never been to the park before and you are trying to leave when 25,000 other people are trying to leave, yeah, and you are shuffling down Main Street at such a pace that, you know, you really don't know how, you have never been in such a crowd, and you've got maybe, you know, a 7-year-old in your hand because it's too big for a pushchair,
and it's still hot.
That is the worst thing. But now I love Wishes very much so. And all I would say is that actually one of the listeners to the show, a guy called Jeff Armstrong, who works for the medical centre in Disney, gave me a tip, is to stand outside the baby centre and watch it from there. I watched Hello Wishes from there. It was, you'd love it over there. There was hardly anybody there and you got a perfect view.
Cool. No, there isn't. You just told everyone.
Yeah.
Can we edit that bit out so it goes, the perfect place is beep?
Yeah. Another really good place to watch it, which gives you a completely different perspective on watching it from Main Street, is from Fantasyland. We had seen the fireworks before, and we were just doing some of Fantasyland that evening, and we went into Pinocchio's Village House and got a drink, and we sat at one of the tables in Pinocchio's Village House and watched the fireworks from there. Still hear the music, but it's bizarre to watch the fireworks go off from the castle and go off from behind you as well. So it's a really different perspective to watch the fireworks. If you've seen them before, you want to watch them from a slightly different view, so that's another good place as well. Out of five?
For the fireworks show itself, I'll give 5. For the crowds, I'll give it a 0.
Craig?
Yeah, fireworks, 5 or 6. The crowds, you got to pick your spot and be careful. I mean, you know, you can go over to the Poly and watch it from there, so the crowds aren't great.
Well, the beach is nice.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, what's funny, when we were there in October, we saw Hello Wishes and then came back and took the kids to the local fireworks display for Bonfire Night, and they were not impressed.
I can imagine.
So it's a bit of an anticlimax.
Yeah, I was going to say, can I point out that once your kids have seen Wishes, any firework display you take them to when you come home will never live up to the same.
No, that's very, very true. I think mine's going to be 5 out of 5 without a shadow of a doubt. It's just a brilliant show. One of those, the music's so emotional as well, just the way it's done, it's fantastic. With regards to who's it for, I think we can say it's pretty much for everyone from babies to 40 plus. Just be sensitive to your children, especially your younger children who don't like fireworks necessarily. You need to obviously keep them back. And what we found was a really good tip was to give them like earmuffs, things like that. If they don't like the sound that loud, if you put something over their ears, then they can quite happily stand and watch it and it doesn't scare them so much. Although you'd look a bit strange in the height of summer in Disney World wearing earmuffs, but it is an option if you need it. Well,
Mickey
there you go.
Won't.
Sorry, Mickey ones. Yeah,
Mickey, be right. Be
Mickey ones when it looks so bad. Well, there you go. That's all the rides, shows, attractions, parades on Main Street USA. Like I said, we're going to bring you segment by segment all of the different bits and pieces. On the next edition, we're going to be looking at dining and shopping on Main Street USA. And by the when we finish the whole of the Magic Kingdom park, we're actually going to release the whole of the Magic Kingdom audio guide as a podcast. So you're able to use that if you're going to be doing any of your planning for your trips and things like that. Thank you guys once again for joining me and for your insight into the attractions on Main Street USA.
Only 79 to go.
Yes. Oh, and I'll be counting down already. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, mate.
Brings us to the end of this edition of the podcast. Once again, thank you for joining us. Thanks to our sponsors at Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can go to attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk and completeorlando.co.uk. Sorry. Thanks again to Juz and Craig for joining me as always. We've got a little bit more of them on this show, and we will be with these new segments we're introducing. Make sure you email us your questions, comments, and suggestions to remember the change of address podcast@disneybrit.com. Make sure also to email us with the answers to the competition that closes at midnight on the 1st of February 2010. Make sure you don't miss out on that. Great prizes, the Vinyl Mation, and also that Mickey's Magical Party CD. You can also ring our voicemail numbers on 0121 288 2858. That's if you're in Europe. And in the US, we have our own number, 407 545 7980. We do enjoy getting those voicemails from you, whether you're in the park, whether you're at home, maybe you've been to see Princess and the Frog, something like that, where you can just ring in, give us a bit of a review of that. Make sure to check out our website at disneybrit.com. You can also check out our forum, disneybrit.com/forum. And also you can check out our new blog, which is ionorlando.com/Disney blog. Check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page. You can friend up myself, Juz, and Craig over on Facebook as well. And thank you to those people who have left us reviews on iTunes. They really are helpful. If you go over there and you haven't done that yet, please do. There's our new YouTube channel. You can search for Disney Brit Podcast on YouTube. You'll find all of the latest videos from us over there as well. You can still buy copies of the Minnie Mouse from Amazon in the US and the UK, as well as at Waterstones and WH Smith's. And please remember to check out our sister podcast at Eye on Orlando that comes out every alternate week to the Disney Brit podcast. And, well, that leaves me with nothing else to say other really than the next show, the next Disney Brit podcast, will be released on Wednesday, the 3rd of February 2010. We hope to bring you yet more exciting segments and some more great news. So, until then, all I've got to say is that I'll see you.
Hi guys, this is your friend here in pal, Mickey Mouse. I just want you to know that I listen to and love the Disney Brit podcast with my good pals, Craig, Adam, and Juz. Or is it Juz? Or is it Juzy, Jazzy, Jazzy, Jeff? Jazzy Jeff, that's right. Craig, Adam, and Jazzy Jeff. Anyhow, listen. Make sure y'all listen too, okay? See y'all real soon.